This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
I was born a poor black child. I remember the day sitting on the porch with my family, singing and dancing down in Mississippi.
That's right! We finally watched The Jerk from 1979 this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream!
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
Welcome to The Movie Gap. The Movie Gap. I am your host, Chase Austin, and as always...
Yeah. Easy now.
The guy whose wife just left him and opens up the phone book and points to the first dickhead he can randomly.
Nice thing.
Just to shoot him. Played by M. Emmett Walsh. That's also Bryce.
Oh, yeah. And he just died.
Yeah. Well, it was a few years ago. But yeah.
Oh, shit. My bad.
You just died.
Yeah.
Bryce Perkins.
What's up, man? I got some donut holes for that ass.
You know what's really fun? Is
yeah.
This, I mean, God, I love this movie.
Yeah.
And like, oh, man. The fact that.
Use your words, Chase.
Walsh's character is that insane.
Yeah.
And then two scenes later, which,
yeah.
You know, time has passed, but he's now a private investigator.
Yeah.
And has solidified himself as like a good guy.
Yeah.
And helps Navin at the, but like also just kind of leaves.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It wasn't even.
Yeah.
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 This movie's so good.
Hey, that's the jerk, baby.
All right.
The jerk for you.
So, Bryce.
What's up?
How you been?
I'm doing good, man. Did you notice my opening line that I came in with?
Yeah.
That's my new slogan. Now. Yeah, that's. I'm adopting that as my new slogan. And yeah, do you want some donut holes?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I actually just had a Big Mac.
Okay. That's fine. I saw you had some chicken nuggies down there.
Some chicken nuggies.
Some McNuggies.
Yeah.
With a little honey dip.
I've been laying off the sugar.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Because
then you want to stop eating McDonald's.
Well, no, there's no sugar, salt. My doctor told me more sodium.
Sure. Right. Like, no sugar in McDonald's products. Sure, dude.
Well, he did say processed sugar is good.
Well, I brought some donut holes for that ass.
Oh,
let's go. Hashtag brought donut holes for that ass. Let's get it going. Let's get it trending, gappers. Let's go. Let's get. Anyway, so we were supposed to watch The Jerk, right?
Yeah.
I had the hardest time finding this movie because I kept going to type in
the mirror?
Search for. No. It's even better.
You get it?
No, it's even better because I kept trying to search The Jerk, and then I kept finding myself searching for The Chase, you see? And so The Chase kept coming up, you understand? And I was like, why does The Chase keep coming up?
Because
we're supposed to be watching The Jerk, and I kept getting The Chase and The Jerk mixed up.
Yeah, well, that's because it stars.
For some reason,
it stars.
I kept getting those mixed up. You understand?
It stars... Winning,
yeah, Charlie Sheen. And
he is the jerk.
You know who else it stars? Bryce's mom, baby. She's in that movie.
She's in the movie
as an extra.
We've talked about that, I think.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. You just
yeah. We ought to cover that one.
She's a star in it.
She fucking stars in it.
She
dude.
Is Charlie Sheen.
She's in it, dude. She's in it like twice. That's pretty much starring.
That's,
okay,
that's pretty dope.
You see her in the background at least twice. That's pretty much starring. I'm pretty sure that's what we call starring in a Hollywood film. So anyway, I had the hardest time finding this movie because I kept getting the Chase and the Jerk mixed up. I don't know why. It's crazy. Not the mirror, though. Not the mirror.
I'm trying to. Wait. Oh,
I got some donut holes for that ass.
You were thinking of Mirrors.
What's that?
Also starring a real Chase. I mean, a real jerk.
See, Sutherland. You get it. I got some donut holes for that ass. All right, let's go.
Isn't Kiefer Sutherland a jerk?
Is that real life?
Yeah.
You could find a story about any of those
Mirrors
guys being jerks.
Mirrors is a movie with Kiefer Sutherland in it, right?
I don't know.
It's about mirrors.
Hey, you're supposed to be the expert
ghosts,
on this show.
Where you can like see.
Hey, Chase, I don't know if you've ever listened to the show before, but you're supposed to be the fucking movie expert. I'm the one that doesn't know shit about movies. Get with the program, okay? You're being a real Chase right now.
First of all, I am not a gapper. So I do not listen to this show.
Fair. That's fair.
All the gappers are real Charlie Sheens.
right. Exactly.
See.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. My mom started a movie with Charlie Sheen. It's pretty dope. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers were in that movie. And my mom was telling me, see, we got to cover that movie just to get her on to talk about her experiences being on the set.
You know what we need to do?
She told me she met Ray Wise.
What we need to do
in his
is
trailer.
We need to have your mom on to cover Kiefer Sutherland's Mirrors.
Okay.
And she just talks about
the Chase. And talks about the Chase?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. All right, sure, we can do that. I brought some donut holes for that ass. If you... That's my new slogan. And you know what? We'll save this for the chit-chat episode, but we were talking before we were recording about what my wrestling thing would be, and I think I found it. That would be my thing. That would be my, like, slogan. Because I brought some donut holes for that ass!
So oh, man. We have fun here.
Shipley's, believe it or not.
All right, so, well, how you been? Other than all of these bits that you've been trying to figure out.
Hey, is my existence anything but bits? I don't think so. I think we've determined that.
We should be a tag team.
The Bit Brothers.
The Bit Bras.
The Bit Bras.
But it's spelled B-R-A-apostrophe-S.
Yeah. B-R-A-H.
And we just wear bras.
Okay, yeah, we could do that too, yeah.
It's a bit.
Get on the bit.
And then we like.
Let me see that thong. Okay.
See, it fits in.
It does. It works.
It fits in.
We could wear thongs and bras. We're the bit bras. And you say, let me see that thong. And I say, I brought donut holes for that ass.
And I look at the other person, and the ref comes and watches me look at the other person.
Yeah.
That, like, look for their thong.
And right.
You pull off your thong and, like, strangle the other guy
while
they're not looking.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that would actually be pretty awesome entrance music. Just those violins starting, and you would instantly know, oh, shit, you know? Because it starts with the violins.
Bras. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Boom. Bit bras.
The bit bras.
With their intro music.
The thong song. Yeah. It's great, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, do you think Mike Tyson had ever got the strippers confused in the club with the when he said, what's that thong? What's the name of the thong? I don't know. I did that on another episode. I did it more perfectly then, but I forgot how it went. But anyway, I've been good.
You know what else is good?
Doing great.
We will be at Comic Palooza.
Yes. Let's get this in the top of the show.
Yeah. Joined by AP Stark.
Live in person.
Apocalyptic Pussy Stark.
Himself.
In person. Coming up. This Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's see here. What is today's date? Today's date is not yet May. So
We're
going to hold back.
Okay.
I mean,
it's close enough to me, though.
No. Once you hear that, Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hear that, NSYNC.
Yeah.
It's going to be May.
Yep.
Then you'll find out what movie we're doing.
Okay. The second it turns May.
It's gonna be me.
Yeah. And then, can I give hints? Can I give clues?
Why does anybody listen to this?
I don't know. But some people
do.
We're
a bunch of mirrors.
Right. We're a bunch of, yeah, exactly. We're a bunch of Sheens. Because we got tiger's blood. That's why. We got Tiger's blood, and what else does he say?
We're warlocks.
We're winning. Yeah, he calls himself a war. Yeah, we're hashtag winning, dude.
Hashtag winning.
Wait, hashtag winning.
Wait, did he say
I've got that? Tiger's blood.
I just watched that. There was this, I think it was Dark Side of the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Or no, Dark Side of the 2000s. And that would have been when it was. And there was the whole thing of Charlie Sheen. And I was like, man, I forgot how crazy that guy
Interview, was insane, man.
Yeah.
I mean, in an awesome way, kind of. I mean, it was certainly entertaining. But yeah, that was wild.
Was that before hashtags, though?
No. It was right when hashtags were becoming a thing. And that's why it became such a big thing, hashtag winning or whatever.
Nine, yeah.
It was right when Twitter was taking off. It was about 2010, I want to say.
Well, you know what wasn't taking off back in 1979?
Twitter.
The internet.
Yeah. At all.
So let's go.
Which begs the question, a jerk remake with the internet available. What would that look like?
Oh, well, we're gonna have to save that for the end of the podcast.
Oh, that's right. This is true. That's the reboot recast. The reboot
recast.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
Because that means that we have to percolate that in our minds.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
And you at home can be percolating as well. And call in. Give us your ideas. You can actually go to crossstreamsmedia.com, click on the Movie Gaps page, and leave a voicemail.
Yeah, and we are also, no matter what day or time you are listening to this, just call 1-888-555-EMPIRE.
Okay.
And just, that's us right now, live.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, and... I don't get it. Oh, God, I got another.
Isn't that
why Empire? Oh, just because
there was an old one.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Oh. Was that an old 800 number?
Yeah, well, I did say 555 because I don't want to get sued.
Oh, okay.
It's a 1-800
Empire. Yeah. The jingle's in my head now.
Yeah.
How did you do that? What is this sorcery?
One? What's the
1-800 Empire.
Free credit report.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Oh, dude, that freecreditreport.com song. Dude.
Called J.G. Wentworth.
877-CASH-NOW.
There he is. Yeah.
There it is.
Call 877-CASH-NOW.
Yeah.
Right now.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, see, I forgot. I didn't realize. Yeah, you were actually quoting something real. Yeah, there was that.
I live my kayfabe.
It's my money and I want it now.
Yeah.
Kayfabe.
That's not all I say.
Oh my god. Earlier before we started recording, a little BTS K-fabe. Here. This motherfucker says K-fob.
K-fob.
That's it. Yeah. K-fob.
Well, I mean, how else am I going to get into my truck without my
key? That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's spelt the same way, except it's not.
Fob and fabe?
F-A-B-E and F-A-B-E. F-O-B. Are not spelled the same way.
Oh, yeah. Is that how they spell the key fob?
But, here's the thing. Bryce.
Uh-huh.
Let's take a break.
All right.
New segment.
Okay. New segment.
We're going to call it Gallagher's Corner.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the English language.
Okay.
And how the way that the English Gallagher's language.
Or Carlin's Corner. That's more.
Yeah, but Gallagher also did it.
Okay, sure.
And he actually.
But Carlin was better.
He actually did not sell this part to Gallagher, too.
Okay.
His brother.
Yeah, sure.
He sold the Sledge-O-Matic, the thing that people actually wanted to see.
Yeah.
He sold that to his brother.
Yeah.
But, no.
Well, Gallagher had integrity, R.I.P.
C-O-M-B.
Right.
Bomb. B-O-M-B. How are they not the same word?
Boom. It should be pronounced boom or comb. Or comb and bomb. Bomb. Yeah, I know.
They're spelled, how is that?
Yeah.
It's wild.
English is weird, man.
Yeah. It's
an amalgamation of Latin languages and,
Well, Bryce.
Yeah.
It's all Greek to me.
Hey! Now that's Gallagher, baby. And that's been Gallagher's Corner. Get your ponchos off. Get your ponchos on. It's Gallagher's Corner.
You know, I
don't mind that.
Their ponchos, because they were just creaming over that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember those days. Yeah, those are the good old days when hordes of people were creaming for Gallagher. As a matter of fact, that's my favorite special of his.
Creaming over Gallagher.
Creaming for Gallagher.
All right.
Oh, man. We have fun here. Okay, sure. Let's do it. Time is a wasting.
1979. You're in the back. You're in the blockbuster.
Yeah.
In 10
did
years.
They have VHS rentals in 1979? I don't even think they did.
Yeah, they did.
In 79, they did?
As far as we are concerned right now, with this minute on the clock, yes, yeah. And go.
Naven Johnson is a white guy raised by a black family, and so he thinks he's black, and decides that it's time for him to go out into the world and create his own destiny, if you will. But the problem is he has been so sheltered by his adopted family that he just is kind of a big-ass doofus, and he doesn't know what's going on out there. But his naivety guides him through difficult situations in which he sees the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Tune in to find out what happens. The end.
9 seconds left. Right. Now, do you remember why he decided to leave?
Yeah, because
I mean, obviously it was his birthday.
Because he found the beat listening to white music.
If this is what's out there,
yeah.
What else could be?
Yeah, I know.
Just like the worst music.
I know. But yeah, and it was like, yeah, it was like big band style bullshit. And then like, yeah, all of a sudden he can keep a beat to it. But my only problem with that was that he was keeping the beat on the one and the three, which is not the way to keep the beat. You want to keep the beat on the two and the four. So it was still... it irked me a little bit because it was like, okay, I get it. He's keeping the beat, but is he really keeping the beat? Because, well, actually it works because he was keeping the beat in the most white way possible, which is the
one. There it is.
Yeah.
Cause he wasn't actually keeping it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a no beat having honky.
You know what I found out, watching this movie with my wife?
What?
She's never had a Twinkie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, have get
you,
on that.
Have you ever had a Twinkie?
Of course.
They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
They're also kind of like the worst, but like in a great way.
I mean, yeah, like, yeah, they were like the epitome of that 90s
I feel
food.
I feel like Carrie has missed the Twinkie train. I feel like if she had a Twinkie
If she had a Twinkie right now, there's no way she
she's
would
like
it. She's
like, no, I don't like this.
No fucking way she's would like
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I get it.
I don't think I would enjoy a Twinkie right now.
She is 25 years old. It's too old to have a Twinkie for your first time.
She's 25. She just turned 25.
25.
And everyone knows, but if you haven't had a Twinkie by the time you're 25, just fucking give
it's
up.
Over.
Pack it in.
Pack it in.
Give up.
Kill yourself.
Don't try.
Wait, did I go too far?
maybe. Just maybe. Yeah, that's wild, though, that she never had a fucking Twinkie growing up. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I know.
Dude, they're the best.
You know what else?
I love Twinkies.
She doesn't like the what are the brownies with the sprinkles, the universal brownie. What do they call them?
Wait, are you talking about they had a little like a small coat of chocolate frosting with the sprinkles on them, but they were also like solid brownies with nothing inside of them?
Stardust. It's
No. It was something like that though.
Yeah. She doesn't like those.
See, I like those
weird?
As a kid.
Isn't that weird?
But see, here's the best ones were...
I mean, they're not good, but they're delicious.
Absolutely. The best ones were... My favorites were Twinkies.
Wait, hold on. Are we getting into a new segment?
Yeah. What's it called? Little Debbie's Corner?
Little Debbie's Corner.
Yeah, we're... Okay, welcome to Little Debbie's Corner. Let me see. My favorite was...
I bet you were a snowball guy. Ugh.
No, fuck no. Yeah, why so did gross. They ever make coconut stuff for first, kids? Yeah, it doesn't work.
Well, coconut, and then on top of that, marshmallows can fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't like marshmallows.
Well, look, I like marshmallows, but...
I don't even like...
That's an insane take.
I don't even like DJs.
All right, here we go. Ready? All right, ready? Welcome to Little Debbie's Corner. This is where we talk about all of our favorite Little Debbie's treats from the 80s, 90s, and more. Little Debbie's Corner, kicking it off right now. Let's go, Chaz. Let's go. All right, so we were just saying, why did they even try making coconut shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, is coconut stuff like Almond Joys, dude? Like, what the fuck was that shit about? What were they thinking, first of all? How bored were you back in the day that you would actually enjoy eating coconut treats, dude? Gross.
I mean, you
gross.
Know,
are you kidding me?
I was a little fat kid, but so the thing is, I'd eat all of it.
But the thing is, I grew up to appreciate the coconut ones later.
Yeah, coconuts are great.
Like, in my later teen years, I was like, you know what? Almond joys aren't that bad. But as a kid, you think I'm so bored that I'm going to eat a coconut and think that it's good? Fuck you, dude.
Have you ever tried to open up a coconut?
Yeah, dude.
It's rough.
I mean, I do it pretty easily.
How about this?
What?
Dreamsicle.
Of course, dude.
Not Little Debbie's.
Not Little Debbie's, but
wait, are we getting Ice Cream Corner?
I think we're getting into Ice Cream Corner. Here we go.
90s Ice Cream Corner.
All right, y'all. Welcome to 90s Ice Cream Corner, where we're reminiscing about those days of our favorite ice cream bars of the 90s. Let's get it. Cheers. All right.
Dreamsicle, right?
Dreamsicle is great.
Those can fucking roll. You know what sucks? Anything with a rice cereal treat on it. Fuck off.
Well, you know, I like those strawberry shortcake ones.
Yeah, but that wasn't rice cereal treat.
It wasn't, but it did have like a coating of breading. Yeah, no. Those were great.
I'm remembering the machine that was right outside of the auditorium.
Uh-huh.
You know, in old Kitty High School.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had those.
Yeah, and especially when they put that new one in with the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And if you shook it hard enough,
yeah, you
things
might
would all fall onto the conveyor belt, and then you get all that shit.
Yeah.
And you had to get them all. As long as you caught it.
Yeah, you had to get it fast enough.
Yeah, because if it hit the thing, it would think that it already dropped it, so you had to pull them all out.
Right.
Yeah, we emptied that thing out several times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those were...
allegedly.
Those were okay.
Wait.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were great. I love the shortcakes and the dreamsicles, of course, dude. And then you had I liked the cone. What do they call those? The cones?
Oh, a drumstick.
Drumsticks.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Come on, and they had the chocolate at the bottom.
Oh, I mean, if they don't have the chocolate at the bottom, who are you fucking?
What are you
with?
Even doing?
What are
with,
you trying to do?
What are you even doing with your life? And who are you trying to fool?
Yeah, because you know what the chocolate does. It holds the drip.
It holds the drip
together.
If
you don't have the chocolate at the bottom, then you're just dripping all over your hand.
Just dripping the fucking shit all over.
Yeah, it comes right out that hole.
Yeah.
What is a cone other than a little bitch with a hole?
Right, exactly. All right, that was 90s ice cream bars and more. All right, we're back in Little Debbie's corner. We're getting real you talking you two to me here.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it, but yeah. So my favorite Little Debbie's was the zebra cakes.
Really,
I like the zebra cakes.
Wait, are those the ones that look like zebras, or are those the ones that were the muffins with the little thing on top?
No, the muffins with the little thing on top. Fuck
ooh,
those.
I like those. What are
I
those?
Didn't like those.
Those aren't ding dongs.
No.
Ding dongs are the rolls.
Those are ho-hos.
Ho-hos. Yeah.
Right.
Like a ho-ho.
Yeah.
And those are okay. Cream inside. Ooh.
But the zebras were the white chocolate.
I can get down on some
around
cream.
Around the vanilla cake with the filling in the middle, and it had the chocolate zebra stripes on it. Those were the shit, dude. Those were the days.
They were fine. Those were basically ho hos with extra chocolate on them.
But they were white chocolate.
But it was white chocolate. Yeah.
And vanilla
white
cake.
White chocolate sucks.
No. White chocolate is great. And vanilla cake is better than chocolate cake.
Oh, you're wrong.
Vanilla cake is better than chocolate cake. Vanilla cake.
I like my cake.
Yeah.
I like my cake chocolate.
Okay. There we go. All right, this has been Little Debbie's Corner. Tune in next week, or maybe not. Ho ho out. All right. We have fun.
Just
here.
A reminder, you can see us at Comic Palooza Memorial Day weekend.
We're going to have those treats and more.
All right. So, Steve Martin.
Uh huh.
What do you think?
Goat.
Right?
Goated.
Absolutely
goated.
But
I mean,
but only as a banjo player.
Right. Well, I mean that too, though. You know, he's a legitimately good banjo player.
He is.
There's a little banjo.
He
in
is
there.
Like I think he's the third greatest five string banjo player. There are only three of them.
Okay, name the other two.
Exactly.
But he's the third greatest.
Yeah. So. By his own definition.
You know, hey, man. Who can argue that?
Wait, have you watched Only Murderers? Only Murders in the Building.
I haven't yet.
Oh, it's so good.
And Martin Short is also go-to dude, but Steve Martin was before Martin Short, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of...
He was famous way before Martin Short was.
Martin Short was sketch, and Steve Martin was...
But what I mean, though, is Steve Martin was nationally famous before Martin Short became famous.
Here's the thing. You walk into a room with Martin Short,
yeah,
you're going to be entertained.
Of course.
You walk into a room with Steve Martin, you're going to want to leave real fast.
He might make you feel like, what are you doing there?
Yeah. He's probably like, I don't want to be here.
He's one of those comedians, though. He's not a
performer.
He doesn't dance.
He's a very Seinfeld.
He performs when he wants to.
Yeah.
Which is, I respect that, and I totally get it.
But like, Martin Short has it in his bones.
Martin Short can't help himself. He's a ham. He's like Dana Carvey. He just can't turn it off.
Yes, exactly.
Which is not to say that that's bad. I mean, I love it. Like, perform all day because what you do is great. But that's all they know how to do. You know what I mean? Like, they just can't help it.
Yeah, they can't turn it off.
And so that's the difference, the dichotomy of performers. Some performers are like, look, I'll do this if I'm on stage, but if I'm on stage, I want to be me. That's it. You know, I keep that separate. Other guys are like, you know what? If I'm in a room, I'm trying to entertain it, and that's it, you know? So that's how that goes sometimes. I'm more of a Steve Martin type of guy, you know? When the lights are off, I'm just sitting in the room, you know? What was it, the thing I was saying that I was doing? I was sitting in a room with the lights off and I thought it was a bit that I did before, but maybe I'm just forgetting it.
Oh, I thought you were setting me up.
No. I thought I did that.
Wait, was that... You in the corner?
I was doing...
Not you in the spot.
No. No, not losing my religion. But...
Oh, it was the black hole sun. It was during the eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah. But, by the way, why didn't the sun get canceled for doing blackface there for, you know?
Right?
Unbelievable.
You know why?
Unbelievable.
You know why?
What?
Billy Dee Williams said it's okay.
I did see that clip. Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's funny the sun thinks it can do blackface for a few hours and everyone's okay with it. Just because it's the sun. Oh, okay.
Guys,
disgusting. Real nice.
Disgusting.
I'm absolutely disgusted by the sun, and I don't think I will ever forget it. Hashtag cancel the sun. So anyway, but Steve Martin, though, is like when I was growing up as a kid, he was obviously famous way before I was born. And it already basically peaked before I was born and done his thing. But
so
I just remember growing up watching his stuff.
Yeah, now.
And he was one of my first introductions to like what was funny.
Yeah, you're a huge
fan. He was one of the first people,
right,
that I ever thought that guy is funny. Same, and that's what funny is.
Same thing, right?
And so he was like that for a lot of people, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I've mentioned this on the podcast many times. My father was a... owned his own CPA firm.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of spring breaks and Saturdays and all that kind of stuff that we would have to go to the office and get like shoved in the back room with our, you know, 25 to 50 cent Gerlins tapes.
Rented,
right?
Yeah.
Steve Martin was a lot of those.
Sure.
So I'd seen this. This was one that we rented that my dad did not know was rated R. And we did not tell him or my brother.
This movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's great.
Yeah.
You grew up with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
You've loved him.
Absolutely.
Like you said, he's been a part of your, like,
him and SNL.
You learned comedy a lot.
Him and 90s that. SNL were like my comedy boot camp when I was a kid. And as you can tell, I've learned a lot. Anyway.
It's pretty present.
Yeah.
Prevalent? Present?
Either one.
It is a present at how
prevalent
the presence of that comedy
of it is,
in your DNA.
Yep. And that's so, Gallagher's Corner, baby.
There it is. That closes up Gallagher's Corner.
Yeah. Then that closes Gallagher's Corner.
Bryce.
Yeah.
Why not the jerk? Why are you
very
now
good question. Very good question.
Some amount older than 25.
Yep.
Why is it now that you're finally seeing the jerk for the first time? Because this has been on the list since the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, I know that part of it was we were like, we don't do comedies.
Yeah, we had trouble talking about comedy.
Yeah, because, you know, it is rough to talk about a comedy.
Well, we made the mistake of doing Stripes. Go check that episode out if you want to know how horrible it is to talk about comedies.
Or the episode we're not going to be recording next because
it
is also the same.
Right. Yeah. That will be our second lost episode. Well,
it's so lost that we're not lost,
but our second time that we've watched a movie and decided not to do it.
Yeah.
So my dad, also a huge Steve Martin fan, massive fan of this movie, loves this movie. And so anytime it would come on TV, he'd be watching it.
Oh, and you hate your father.
Okay. No. My dad has been on the show. Everyone knows I love my dad. He's the best.
You love him so much, you forgot to have him on for the one movie he wanted to
play. Hey, come on. No, but whatever. Anyway.
Hey, at least your dad came on the show.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I was a kid, so my attention span was kind of low, right?
Yeah.
And so I would see little bits and pieces of it, but then I would, go on my Game Boy or whatever and do whatever because no attention span. And it was an older looking movie, and so immediately I'd be like, okay, well,
you'd run outside and eat your zebra cakes.
Yeah, I'd be hopped up on fucking zebra cakes, who knows doing what, studying Gallagher. Eating my dreamsicles, eating my strawberry shortcake cones. I would just kind of just lose, I would stop paying attention and then just figure that I would watch it some other
eventually,
time.
Yeah.
And then it just never really happened to where I actually sat down and watched it all the way through. You know, it just never happened. I don't know why. It just really legitimately slipped through the cracks of my movie watching experiences. So, and then we started doing this podcast, and then it became even more okay, well, I'm going to wait until we cover it.
Yeah.
And then we didn't cover it for what? Until season two. Are we in season three now?
Did we close out Gallagher's Corner?
Well, we never had intro music for it.
Can we close it out right now?
Okay. This has been Gallagher's Corner. Take your ponchos off now.
Okay. And with that, we've officially entered season three.
Oh, that's big.
So we need our season three intro. Wait, hold on. I think I have it.
Okay. I like this. It's avant-garde.
Shh.
Who is this? John? This is very John Cage.
I'll kill you. That's what we were waiting for?
Okay.
Kill you. That's a junkie. Don't swear.
Sure.
Shut up!
And scene.
Okay, in season three.
Tables!
There we go.
Season three.
All right, season three. Here we go. Okay, yeah, very happy to be in season three. We're starting off strong with The Jerk. Yeah. And
halfway through it.
And what were we saying? What were we saying about that? Yeah, I just slipped through the cracks, and then I saved it for when we covered it, and then we waited until season three to finally cover it.
All right, well, let's hit the notes, bro.
Want to hit some notes then? All right, so my first note was, him not being able to find the beat, which we talked about there. I mean, so many great lines in this movie that...
Again, well, this is why we don't like doing comedies, because it's just
I know.
You know that one funny part?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing, man. This movie is so, it's a weird one to watch now, especially too.
Yeah.
Just because of the premise of him being a white kid that was adopted by a black family and he thinks he's black. And then so you get these great lines where he says, he's crying and she says, Naven, you're adopted. And then his response is,
I'm going to stay this color.
You mean I'll always be this color? So he's been waiting. And he's 30 or something in this movie. He's been waiting 30 years to turn black. What is that?
Well, so, at that point, my wife was like, this isn't funny.
So,
I feel like this might be racist, but it's not racist because it's sweet, but are we also supposed to laugh at the fact that this man is mentally challenged?
Well, so okay, that's Let's get into that. He's not mentally challenged.
No, he's just
a fucking naive, yeah, he's just dumbass dumb. Yeah. That's been sheltered
and
his whole life.
Everybody in his family is smart.
Exactly.
Which we learn, as like, first of all, none of them are idiots. You know, right. I mean, some of them are, you know, they don't know what a blowjob is, except for the brother.
Well, but that's more of born of like innocence or whatever.
Yeah, innocence.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And he's
and
also
they also
innocent.
Are from the country. They're not out there in the big cities and stuff. So they're country people. They've been living a country life. They're not, you know, in the big city doing anything. They're just, you know, these innocent, great, like beautiful family that took in this kid and sheltered him.
He showed up on their doorstep. They're like, well, he's ours now.
Yeah. And took him in as their own
and four other kids
and sheltered him and treated him like a little precious egg. And so that's how he acts.
That's racist because eggs are white.
Okay. Well, you know, down with whitey, but, oh yeah, I forgot.
This has been canceled, Corner. Yeah.
Do you remember Black Sheep though? Fucking Chris Farley. Junkie. We got to get that Chris Farley drop. Kill Whitey. those Rasta dudes. No.
See, anyway. And that's but like you're right. That is sort of like the same thing. Is that like I love this movie. You gotta love, you know, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep.
Yeah.
All the way up through, you know, Hot Rod and, you know, Step Brothers, where it's this like, no, it's not about the person being an actual real person who is sort of, I mean, I guess the difference between all of those is that Steve Martin does play this very real.
Yeah, he plays the naivety like perfectly. He plays it perfectly and makes it work. I mean, dude, this movie does not work without Steve Martin, man.
No, absolutely
not. The way he plays it is absolutely perfect because he plays that naivety to a T, and it kind of like, that's sort of like what he's a master at doing anyway in his comedy.
Well, and it's why, you know, he and Carl Gottlieb and Michael Elias, that they worked on this together. This was his movie. Carl Reiner directed it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a brilliant, brilliant film.
Yeah.
And it holds the fuck up.
Yeah, it does.
Because
it
really of
does.
It.
It really does, and in the weirdest way, because of like
every. I mean, even rewatching it, every fucking like 10 minutes, I was like, "Okay, I think this is where it's gonna like." Remember when the very first movie that we ever watched together, even before the podcast,
Tremors.
No, like before the podcast became the podcast, it ended up being our first episode.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, "This is where the movie plateaus."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, that's a bummer."
Uh huh.
And it like isn't.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting every time watching this movie. I was like, oh, I bet this is where it plateaus.
Right.
Like when he proposes to Bernadette Peters while she's asleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really think that this is where it plateaus. Yeah. And then he just like keeps going on.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I know we've only been together for 5 weeks, but it feels like it's been 6 years because the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And just like, and you're like, okay, it's going to cut. It's going to cut.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going.
And,
and then you visited your mom. So that day just felt like one day.
Yeah.
But then you came back a little early.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And like, even when you start to get a little bored of them, like on the beach together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she busts out the trumpet. And you're just like, okay, this is dumb. And I like, but that's fun.
Yeah.
And it's a little believable.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I just, while you were playing the trumpet, I just imagined that my lips could go through the front.
Yeah.
And it starts to be a little cute.
It was a little cute.
Then, keeps going to where it's not cute anymore. And then she goes, well, why didn't you? And he goes,
I didn't want to get spit on me. Yeah, it was. No, that was what was so great, because that line was like a really beautiful line. Yeah. It was totally romantic. It was like, because, and it was in response to a completely goofy thing, which was her just randomly busting a fucking trumpet out and him making which, that.
Yeah, she didn't have.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But him making that into something really romantic. They're on the beach. They just got done playing this song together. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
And he says that line and he takes, and look, kudos to Steve Martin again. He says it perfectly, plays it perfectly. It seems genuinely romantic and it like feels real, and he's playing it real and he's playing it straight, you know, and he says that whole cute little line and everything. And you're like, oh, that's touching. And then she goes, and then she says, well, why didn't you? He goes, I didn't want to get spit on me. Like, it's fucking perfect.
And she goes, oh yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And then he does go to try to kiss her. And then
okay, so this is a movie that is before. I mean, this movie is like the greatest romantic comedy of all time.
Yeah. Oh man, the motorcycle chick that.
Oh well, yeah, that.
Oh, my special purpose! That, I found, yeah, my, I special found purpose. My special purpose,
and he rides his family. And she goes, I've only been able to send you $2.74 this week, but I should be making more money next week because she's promised me a blowjob.
Yeah.
And the mom and dad are like, oh, that's so sweet. And the brother is just dying.
Yeah, the brother. Yeah, he's the only one that knows. Well, but yeah.
But even like, even the meet cute of Bernadette. Okay, so the bicycle chick is...
Hold on, her nip slipped out a couple times of that thing. Did you notice?
Yeah, I did.
I noticed.
Yeah. Do you know why I loved this movie when I was 8 years old?
Oh, really? Was that something you noticed back then?
Of course. Yeah, it was like this and Airplane. And Airplane was...
Well, Airplane just had straight up titties.
Just straight up titties.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiggle bitties.
Some tiggle bitties. I feel like I have a booby drop in here somewhere. But yeah, that
I feel like I have a booby drop.
Yeah, where is it?
No, that's but music. Yeah, Patty. It was Caitlin Adams.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but Patty Bernstein is the character of the motorcycle one. But like, he meets her, and he's like, "You've got my name tattooed on your ass behind all these other ones."
Yeah.
Like, she's got a lot of names on her butt, but like, I'm the new, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
She's like, "You're married to me now." And yeah. Then when she comes in, she's like, "You're not cheating on me or I'll kill you."
Yeah.
And then Bernadette Peters just hits her once and he goes, "You protected me." And then it cuts to the trombone scene on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's just gone.
Yeah.
But even before that, the meet cute of him and Bernadette Peters is on the train.
Yeah.
Which we've not been introduced to him driving the
train. Yeah, right, right.
But the kid's shirt,
it just says bullshit on both sides.
Yeah.
And she says
it's the kid with the shirt that says bullshit. As if you can't tell, it's on both sides of his shirt.
And then it does actually say bullshit. Yeah, it actually does say bullshit, which was awesome because I had seen like ads for, I get ads for shirts on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
And I saw an ad for a shirt, which is a picture of a shirt that said bullshit. It was in that style.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen the movie, right? So I didn't get it. And I was like, I remember seeing the ad for it and being like, what the fuck kind of stupid fucking shirt is that? And I remember thinking like, what is that? That doesn't even fucking make sense. So when she says that, I was like, wait a second, what? And then sure enough, the kid is wearing that shirt. I was like, oh, that's what it's from.
Now, Bryce, if only you knew a male child that you could get that shirt for.
That'd be great. Yeah, that's a great, that's not a bad idea right there. That's fucking funny. That is funny. Yeah, I mean, shoot.
That's improv, bitch. You can use it.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot, I'll get that shirt for myself. But yeah, that shit was... and just the way she just says it like that. That's another, like, the style of humor in this.
And then he saves the kid, which wasn't even saving it. The kid was, like, this...
Yeah,
this
yeah.
fucking train is going nowhere.
Right.
He's getting hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And at the end of it, she goes, "Well, I'm sorry about your son." She goes, "Oh, it's not my kid. It's
right. I'm just babysitting." And then
we don't see the kid.
Oh no, and he's like, "Oh, well, do you mind if I get a kiss for my troubles or whatever?" She's like, "Yeah, sure." Kid. And he kisses the kid on the cheek. Like, what the fuck? Oh my god, it's so dumb. But
it's so good.
There's a lot of like. There's a lot of like, there's a the style of this humor is like a proto 90s modern day humor that you would even see in some Tim and Eric type stuff.
You could see a lot of like
Tim randomness and Eric, like, in lovingness, there,
especially
yeah.
when the guy comes, the pastor comes to him and is like, "You don't understand what's going on in my country."
Oh my God.
And like they show this like long footage that just like, where you're just like, what are they going to do with the cat? And it's just juggling cats. And it's played by him.
And it's Steve Martin, dude. Yeah. That was so good. And only, dude, it's such a dumb fucking premise that only Steve Martin could make that fucking work.
This,
you know what I mean?
This is disgusting. Yeah, yeah. Have all the money you want to make this stop.
Cat juggling? It's the literally the last fucking thing you were thinking is going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, so you see the way it shows it. First of all, you see him with the mustache. Hilarious. He's coming out doing his fucking like thing.
You
see him place the little kitty cats and you're like, what the fuck is about to happen? And then the next thing you see is him just goofily fucking juggling and, like, these stuffed cats around.
Everybody that's watching him, it's like a cockfighting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but,
everybody else has bigger cats.
Yeah, they're all holding cats
up as though like, now you're gonna juggle this one too.
And just like, dude, it's so fucking perfect, so random.
When he starts one-handed,
and they're like flying off and shit, and it's just like, and they're like clearly stuffed animal cats are just flinging everywhere. Fucking hilarious.
I don't know how to figure out, we got to find a dossier on this.
Okay,
I think we need to do a full-on investigation.
I don't know what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to, like, call the FBI.
Uh-huh.
We need to get, what's that old guy that's...
J. Edgar Hoover.
No, the one that's...
Herbert Hoover.
No, the one that's... he's
Herbie
all like,
Hancock.
He's all like, I'm the president right now.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's it. We need to get him. We need to get him on the phone and be like, we need to investigate, because I'm pretty sure... Ty, the guy who made Beanie Babies, stole that idea from this movie.
Beanie Babies?
Beanie Babies.
Because of the
cat juggling.
The cat juggling?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm not mad at that idea.
Very famously rich Steve Martin is owed some money by Ty.
I think so.
Who I'm pretty sure is also dead. But you know why he's dead?
Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
They killed him because he was out there stealing ideas. Because he was juggling cats.
That's not gonna fly here.
There we go. I was looking for my mafia drop. But anyway, that idea of humor, dude, 1979, man. No one's doing something like that. And it fucking make that fucking work. I mean, not nobody. I mean, SNL was doing goofy stuff, but such a random goof to throw into a movie. Like,
you know, if you go back,
it is absolutely our generation's style of humor happening in 1979. But
it also,
you know what I mean?
Like, it also like flows in an actual narrative.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like shoehorned in, you know, with like Tim and Eric and things like that, where it's just like, bit and thing.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right, right, right.
You know, I think you should leave, or, you know, sketch comedy kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Even SNL at the time.
Yeah.
Or SNL now is still sketch comedy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go back and watch 70s SNL, and it's like, wow, this isn't funny.
Sometimes it's not. It doesn't hold up as well.
A lot of it that's not.
I mean, but a lot of it does, though, you know. I mean, you know, cheeseburger.
But but this does hold up.
Yeah.
And it is that goofiness.
Yeah,
put into a way that then, you know, people like Tim and Eric and luminaries such as Chase Austin and Bryce Perkins, or not as famous as Bryce Levi, but one of these days I'll get him on the show.
Yeah,
but like they have been able to go on and do things that are even funnier because of it,
and even better, and that have a longer lasting impact and more of a global impact,
thanks to the
internet.
Some of those, I'm not going to say who, but some of those people that we've not mentioned in this episode, will be at Comicpalooza on Memorial Day weekend 2024.
Right, some of them will.
Some of them will.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's yeah, it this movie, like, it this movie also toes a line between it's
and Mabel King, Richard Ward, Emmett Walt, like, these are fucking phenomenal actors.
Yeah. But it's, well, see, at the time we'd already had spoof movies, right? You already had your Mel Brooks movies come out. Mm-hmm. But this one takes that, makes it not a spoof, but takes the goofiness and somehow makes it work in real world settings, which makes it its own brand.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's the way that, like, Leslie Nielsen movies and those spoof kind of things kind of ended up failing when they're in on the joke.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, now it's,
I mean, Naked Gun is good.
They're an idiot.
Oh, no, by the way,
Naked Gun is great.
Yeah.
Airplane is great.
Yeah.
But once, like, you get to, like, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah.
Where Leslie Nielsen is being the funny part of this thing.
Yeah.
Whereas what, like, that's what Steve Martin's doing in this. He's the funny one.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's playing it real.
Yeah.
Even though he's real dumb and real funny.
Yeah.
And all the things that are happening are not spoofy. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes in line with this movie. I mean, you have that whole scene where it's like the butler's wife has to pay the penalty for withdrawing her funds too soon, and it's a fucking firing squad.
And it's like
in his backyard. Yeah. And he's like, those dang penalties.
Yeah. You know, well, she knew.
Yeah.
Do you need the day? Yeah, we best not like, think about it too far.
No one can mourn forever.
Yeah, it's like 12 just seconds happened. Later. Yeah. And then we also never really see him
again. Yeah, right, exactly. It's just so fucking, it's just fucking great, man.
Oh, man.
And then, yeah, and then like, okay, we got to talk about the one joke, the big one, man, where, and, which, you know, does it work? Does it hold up? Does it stand up?
Okay,
dude, we got to talk about it because, dude, that was a fucking shocker. And
yeah.
And
so he's
also one of the, like, funniest things I've ever seen.
Life. First of all, wait, we've skipped a lot.
Sure.
Let's go real quick. This movie's wild. If you haven't seen this movie,
and it's, dude, I don't know why you're still listening. I can't believe that there's so much to talk about in an hour and a half movie.
And every fucking second is important,
and it all works,
and it's so, yes,
and it flows.
It's all these,
it
actually weird flows. Bits that flow beautifully. Yeah. I mean, he is for, like, he leaves his home, and then how far are you going? The end of this fence?
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I hope he's doing all right.
Yeah,
hold on. Hey, David, you doing all
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, then he goes, you know, and then he has to run away. Like, he ends up at the gas station where Emmett Walsh, he's like, the new phone books are out.
Oh, my God.
Things are going to happen to me now.
And the first thing that happens, he gets picked out as,
well, Nathan, you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, you fucking nobody, you fucking random nobody. Like, after he's like, I'm somebody, but he's getting picked out for being a random nobody.
This is also after he's attached the credit card thieves to the shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will be in a blue Cadillac going down that. And if you see a car dragging a small church.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
probably the one. That's probably them. Yeah, it was so.
We want to stick around for an oven mitt.
Yeah. Oh, and the way that he fucking, dude, the most classic Steve Martin. Yeah, the way he's like so proud of himself.
Yeah, they'll be
he's like
for
he's
a
like
while.
Scampering back, and then just so like his timing is so fucking good. He's scampering back, and then just slows down and realizes and looks back and gives the most smug look, like. And a nice little chuckle to himself, and he does the hand wipe and everything. Like,
wiping,
they won't be leaving for a while. Like,
they're gonna be here.
That shit. That kind of shit right there.
And then the church pulls apart, and it's in the middle of a wedding ceremony.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, it's in the middle of a wedding ceremony, which is like, of course, like, what a genius little detail to throw in there. Because you got to, like, why, like, if this, then what? It's a perfect little heightening detail, you know?
So then he starts getting shot, and he thinks that the cans are ineffective.
Right, because, yeah.
He hates these cans.
Yeah, yeah, because he can't. More cans!
And then that forces him to run away from the gas station,
right?
And
right.
Accidentally join the circus,
yeah.
Because Emmett Walsh pulls up to the gate.
Oh,
and
yeah,
says,
yeah.
No, yeah. No, non-carnies allowed. Yeah, yeah. He's not a carny.
Yeah, he's not a carnival person. He's not a carnival person, and he just that's why he stops.
Yeah, that's why he stops. But then it's he joins the carnival, and then it just keeps.
It's like, so good, dude.
That, you know, and then we go back to the fact that he fixed the OptiGrab on the
yes, thing, yes,
and it gives him the $250. But then he realizes it's two. I'll keep 50 of the bigger big one,
of the big ones,
and I'll deposit 200 fatties.
Yeah. Just like, and then realize it's way more than what he thought.
Do that stupid spin of his head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe threw that in there. I can't believe they did that. It was so, that was wild. That was really wild. So the movie goes into more fantastical places, but it also stays grounded and it walks that line perfectly.
So now
and a big reason why that works is not only because of Steve Martin, it also works because of Bernadette Peters.
Yes.
She is so good in this movie.
And I'll tell you what.
She is so good in this movie.
Google Bernadette Peters today. Yeah. She looks the same.
Smash.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Dude.
10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Phenomenal. Great actress. Broadway legend.
Yeah.
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 Still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total cutie pie and fucking, and just such a great,
and she's
such
so
a great actress.
Like dry in this movie. Like,
she's so perfect.
She could be funny. She could do all the different things. She's so.
Her performance reminded me of, what is her name from, the Mel Brooks movies? The one that in Young Frankenstein and the one that always plays a German lady or whatever, the one that played the German lady in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. Are you talking about the one from Frau Verbissina?
No. That's Austin Powers.
Well, yeah.
With the German lady in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. She just passed away like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but see, she's also.
Home. Why am I brain farting on her?
She's also amazing. Yeah. But Bernadette Peters was reminding me of that because she also does the serious, dry, play it real, but it's fucking hilarious kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then Bernadette Peters. I don't know if I've seen her in anything else, but man, she's fucking incredible in this movie. She's so good.
You've seen her in other things, but this is probably her biggest like film starring role.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, she's an icon.
She helps make it work.
Stage.
She helps make it work. Even more so, she plays perfect opposite. Steve Martin's weird, dumb, naive, but innocent character. She plays against him so perfectly. They're able to make this world work so that it actually holds up.
Before he gets rich and she's leaving him after that monologue that he has in the bed.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're going to get back to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But and he's like in the bathtub and he's like, I wrote a song for you.
Yeah.
I'm picking out a thermos
for you.
Yeah. Dude. Which then plays back
later. That's another
great
fucking thing that he did.
But he's doing that. And then she like slips the note under. But because he's snapping in the fucking bathtub, it gets all
the
wet.
The water's on.
And he reads it like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So
he's like
funny.
Yeah.
And he picks up Shithead, which by the way, we haven't talked about Shithead.
We talked about Shithead, dude.
You're a hero.
Yeah. He's not a hero. Call him Shithead. Yeah.
So he names him Shithead.
And then when he's like, all right, you've had enough of me. You can go. Yeah. And he goes, hey, get back here. I'm not done talking to you.
So I took my dog leading the way.
Yeah, and Shithead's just like, no, stop taking me. I don't want to be with you.
And then he picks him up naked, and then he picks him another dog.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Dude, that was one of my notes, man.
And then he backs away, puts the other dog back down.
Dude, that was one of my notes imagine holding a dog up to your bare ass for the sake of comedy. Like that, you know what I mean? Which she really did. It was a fucking live dog that he's covering his bare ass with.
Yeah.
Also,
the best part of it, but the best part of that is also that it was the guys whose dog it was is standing there watching him hold that dog up to his ass.
Right.
And then he backs away and puts the dog back down.
Yeah, yeah.
And backs away the rest of the
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just like those little moments.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
So then it turns out that he, you know, gets all that money because of the Opti Grab. And so then she comes back. And then when he's like learning to invest all his money, this is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So yeah, he's in with these ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah,
like mafioso types.
Yeah, I was gonna say like very Soprano-esque.
Yeah, Soprano-esque. They're using propositioning.
That's not gonna fly here.
Derogatory language that even I didn't know.
That has
until
been gone by the wayside. But using racist terms, and he doesn't get it, right? Because he's naive, and he's like, "Huh, what is that?" And then they full on say the N word.
Yeah,
and true to his character, he says, "Sir, you are talking to a," and then says it. Now
and then flips on and then, his jacket
and goes
as the black belt.
Yeah, yeah.
And goes full goes on
ape karate. Shit on them and beats them up for being racist. Now, this was this is a fascinating scene and one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in my life, because I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming at all. To me, it's the funniest thing in the movie.
Which is interesting because like throughout the movie, you know, we've not. And I think it's because of the sweetness of his family and the sweetness of him. Like we keep having those things where he sends them letters no matter what and gives them more and more money.
Yeah.
His family. And like, so we forget that we never forget that he's not black.
Right. Right.
But we do forget that he still thinks
he's black.
He's black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, dude, with how like, what makes things funny and all this and that, there are certain formulas that can, you know, make a joke work and stuff. And this is like, I can't believe they thought of this as far as a, if this, then what?
Yes. Yeah. For this scenario.
You know what I mean? And the idea that they even thought of that was like, well, if he thinks he's black, let's see his reaction to people being racist towards.
Yeah.
And then his reaction would be, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And he does, you know, but the fact that they took it that far and they did it like, you know, it's ballsy. It's a line tower.
Yeah, very much so.
But it works though, and I think it just works in a sense that is innocently funny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It does
because
kind
he
of,
is a, because he is a naive like, dumbass.
Yeah, you know what it gets to that point where it's like, if the joke is written and executed in the right way with the right meaning, then it could still be funny.
Right,
especially if like, because the joke is not the derogatory words.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And the joke is also not on
black people.
The black people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or even, it's kind of on him, but also not.
It's on racism. Yeah, and it's on him just being like that much of a naive, innocent dumbass. Yeah. You know, it's like, The guy actually thinks he's black, you know? And then so what would he do? He would fucking kick their ass, and then he does. And so that it works, you know? Like, but it's I don't know.
I know that we've had these conversations on the podcast before about like, you know, we just don't like it. When it's used, it's, you know, like it's just not needed. But like the fact that when I was rewatching this one, and I was like, I wonder what Bryce is going to think about.
But there's using the N word, and you're Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And then there's using the N word for the sake of a joke that still is a commentary on something, and you know, has an actual a purpose and reason for it.
Yeah.
For the fucking joke, you know, and Quentin Tarantino though, and people like that will just throw it in there just because they think that it's cool, I guess. And like, it's like, that's not needed at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also 1979, doing it in a way that's not it, the way that, like, even in, like, you know,
it absolutely had a purpose in it, yeah. And a reason, and it had a motivation behind it.
And it wasn't, you know, just shock value.
It wasn't just a white person trying to be shocked.
It was like, oh, the joke is here.
Right, exactly. The joke is right there. This is what he would say, and this is what, And so it does
so
work.
So good.
Quentin Tarantino, on the other hand, just wants to shock you and thinks that he's being cool or something, and he's not.
Yeah,
like, it's just like, we don't need, you know, I love Pulp Fiction and everything, but, you know, whatever.
All right, so we've pretty much talked this movie to death.
Yes.
I also love, he's, God, that fucking scene. I mean, it's the poster of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, well, all I need.
Yeah.
You know, when he's writing all the checks.
Oh, though, yeah,
one,
that, yeah.
Because it turns out it's exactly the amount of money that he has. Uh-huh. And he's got to give $1 to everybody that bought a pair of the glasses.
Yeah.
$1.09.
Yeah.
And then and one of them is the racist guy.
The Steel Balls McNeely or whatever. You didn't know it was Steel Balls McNeely? Or McSchneedy or whatever the fuck his name was.
But then, so he's writing it all, and then he just, like, gives up. And, like, Bernadette Peters doesn't even leave him because of that. He leaves her.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I don't need anything. And he just continues to grab things. This lamp.
Yeah.
This paddleball game.
Yeah.
This chair.
Yeah.
And this magazine.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I need.
And they just let it, like, keep going.
45 minutes. Yeah,
as he's walking out of the house.
And then the next scene is him just trading it all for the thermos.
Yeah.
Which is the callback to the bathtub scene.
And then guess what? They go back and get him, and then he gets to give the thermos for you. And that's fucking great. And then
the best joke is, we did have to tear down the old house because we needed a bigger one.
Yeah.
It's literally
just a bigger scaled version of what they had.
Oh man,
there was all, dude, there's so many great, dude.
Every, like, there's not a missed moment
in
this film. It's so good.
The fucking, do you have a balloon? And he's like, no. Hold on. Oh, wait, yeah, I do.
and it's blown up.
Yeah, it's already blown up.
It's already blown up. It is, and then she was pretty good.
Yeah, right. It's,
not only that, he goes over and pulls all the knives out of where he would be dead.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have the...
she cries. No, you're just beginning.
Yeah. And she has a great delivery where you know, after they realize they're going to lose everything, and she's like, I don't care about the money. It's losing all the stuff. It's looking good. And then he's like, this is America. We're going to receive a fair trial with an impartial jury. Like fucking great, you know. Anyway, so a couple things I did want to say, though.
They're all crux.
Dude, so that one right there, that whole bit with Carl Reiner obviously making his cameo.
Yeah.
As himself, and then him showing, he's like, here's footage of me yelling cut too late in this movie I was directing, and it's of a car going through crashing through and then going off the cliff, and then as soon as it goes off the cliff he goes cut
and it right blows up.
Fucking blows up. Shit was so fucking funny. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. And all because he lost his depth perception because of his invention. Man. So good. But also, did you, I'm pretty sure, and you might want to look this up.
Okay.
But his big house that he had, that pool, for sure, 100% is the pool from Billy Madison. 100%. It's got to be.
Oh, you know what? I bet I can figure that out. Hold on. Look at filming locations.
Dude.
Grounds of Navin's Mansion.
Uh-huh.
Filming locations. Pull this up.
Because I saw that, and I immediately was like, dude, that's fucking Billy Madison's house, dude. For sure, Billy Madison's pool. With those pillars and stuff behind it and everything. And I remember the scenes of, you know, Norm MacDonald and Artie Lang all fucking fucked up in the, just floating in the pool all day or whatever.
So here, it's also in The Godfather.
Wait, really?
The Bodyguard.
That's what I noticed.
Fletch.
Yeah.
Don't see Billy Madison.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. Maybe it was the other one.
What other one?
Sheik Al-Fasan Mansion. That could have been where the pool was, no, that was only in The Jerk.
That pool?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was just wrong.
Miniature train park. Yeah, that's all that I'm seeing. Oh, I mean,
that is honestly devastating. Also,
this is all with IMDb, so IMDb sucks.
That is devastating. You know what? I don't like this movie anymore. We wasted all of our time. I'm just kidding. All right, well, let's get into some segments here, huh?
I love you for the color of a baboon's ass.
What's that? What is that?
It's just a line from the movie.
When does he say that?
He tells that to
Bernadette Peters?
Yeah, like when they first are like falling in love.
Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah. How about the motorcycle chick calling her a gash?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Well, like, just making her the most crass.
She comes in to, like, beat the shit out of it. Then she just backhands her and she's gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if this gash doesn't get out of here, I was like, good Lord, you are crass. Yeah, that was fucking funny. So, I found my special and then there was a great callback to that too, where she was like, "You got a special purpose."
I have a special purpose. And then they bang immediately. Yeah. And that's when he like it cuts to them in bed after like.
Yeah, that's right. Weeks. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's in that moment.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, have you got anything else to say? We get into some segments here.
Yeah, let's do some segments. So first of all, let's get the rating.
I want to get a rating.
Yeah.
All right. Out of 10. Out of 10. I mean, this is so mad. There's so much. Out of 10.
Try something that we forgot to mention.
All right. Out of 10. Man, something we forgot to mention. Out of 10. Cosmetic masks.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that. Yeah. We didn't mention that.
Yeah. She's a cosmetologist on top of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we got to her just like giving a demonstration in a mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off of my husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And she, when she pulls it off, she goes, wow, this really works.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of 10, feathers in my cap.
Giant feathers
in my cap. How about that?
Same car.
Yeah.
Same car, but he's rich now.
Yeah. Yeah. I give this. Now,
this movie's only an hour and 34 minutes.
Yeah, dude. I can't believe there's so much shit in it that works. I can't believe like all the different things we just brought up in a movie that only lasts an hour and 30 minutes.
God, it's so
when good. You can watch entire 3-hour movies and have one thing to talk about.
Or just not do a podcast over them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got to give this one 10 giant feathers in my cap, baby.
There you go.
That's a 10 out of 10. 10
giant feathers, 10 out of 10.
Jerk gets 10 out of 10 for me.
All right, so I don't have a budget on this one, but I will say that I do have the numbers. So,
okay,
what do you think the domestic gross was? Wait, first opening weekend. I do have that.
You have opening weekend?
I do have opening weekend. Okay. December 16th, 1979.
Oh, Oscar season. Okay.
Oscar season.
Well, I do remember this being a hit, but hits were a little less money back then. I am going to say it made $21 million in its opening weekend.
Stinky! $5.9 million.
Oh, damn.
5.9.
Shit, way off.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So what was the total?
The total, I think, is that I'm thinking it was a massive hit, right? And I remember it being a big hit, even in my own country of England, of course. And I'm going to say it made, in total, $83 million.
Ooh.
Am I close?
That parts of your number are
what?
$73 million.
Oh, dang. Okay.
$73 million.
Well, it's right there in me old noggin, you know, it's bouncing around in me noggin. Just got off by a tenner.
Ish the old timey
off by a bit of a tenner.
Transfer rate, what we call it.
Yeah, old timey. Yeah,
counterfeit. No,
adjustment. Adjusted for inflation.
No, not
it's inflation. Adjusted for inflation.
Well, is it when you take one money in and you get all money?
Oh, exchange.
There it is.
Exchange rate. It's a bit of an exchange rate. Yeah, I was off a little bit because the dollar's worth more.
All right, so
it's worth more than the pound.
Movie, this back movie then. Opened to number two.
Uh-huh.
The number one movie was in its second week.
Okay.
And it maintained its number one status. And we have covered it on this podcast before.
We're talking about the opening weekend?
Yeah.
This was number two to this movie?
This the Jerk was number two.
Yeah,
number so one was number one for 2 weeks in a row.
Okay,
we covered it on this podcast.
1979,
almost a year ago.
1979. How do you remember when we covered? Oh, because of Comicpalooza. Oh, Dune.
No, that was
no
2 years ago.
Oh shit! Yeah. Star Trek.
Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
Wrath of Khan. Oh, Motion no, Picture.
The first one. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yep. And then number three,
mm-hmm.
Which is the only one that's still on this box office list,
yeah.
is a huge, huge flop starring some SNL alum of this time and one of the greatest, biggest directors still working today.
Scorsese?
And written by the people who wrote Back to the Future. It's 1941 by Steven Spielberg.
Whoa, that came out in 1979?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought that came out in the 90s for some reason.
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, shit.
Nope. Okay. Yeah,
that starred what? Belushi?
Belushi, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, written by the Bobs.
Bob and Bob Roberts? Who are we talking about? Yeah, Bob and Bob Bob?
Robert Zemeckis and Bob yeah.
Odenkirk. Yep.
Yes, Bob Odenkirk.
This guy's about to jack off.
What?
All right, so that leaves us with one more thing.
Wait, what? What was number five?
What? Oh, there was only three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, 79. The real box office stuff didn't really start.
Yeah, popping until about 84. Sure.
So, our last segment,
Reboot Recast.
Yeah.
Who could pull off this role?
Oh, wait, you know what? Let me try something for the Reboot Recast. Ready?
Okay.
All right, let's say it again. It's time
time for our last segment.
And then, hold on, wait a second. Okay, ready? Say it again.
It's time for our last segment.
Wait, hold on. Here we go, let's go. Let me turn this down. And it's time for our last segment.
What the hell?
Shut up. It's time for our last segment.
Recast.
That sounds pretty epic, right? Yeah. Alright, anyway. So, yeah, here we are.
Still going. I always love a segment that just cuts.
Yeah.
Starts way too long.
Yeah.
Wait, no, try it again.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, wait, hold on. Wait, no, quiet. Wait, hold on. Let me try this. Oh, wait, let me turn it down a little bit. Yeah. All right, let me put the thing in. Okay, and then no, stop. All right, and yeah, now we did it.
Yeah. And cut it. That's called, I call that the Carson cut, is when the band would just stop playing and say, cut it. Called the Johnny Carson cut.
All right.
Okay. So yeah, what do we got?
I mean, it all comes down to who could play Nathan
Reboot.
Let's try something out. Okay, who can play Nathan?
You're trying something out. You mean fucking everything up?
What's the difference?
All we need is Nathan.
Well, Bernadette Peters. We can do Bernadette Peters,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but if you don't get the Naven...
I forgot you hate women. Yes. Okay.
I only love one woman,
okay.
And it is my wife.
Okay. Got a terrific penis.
Yeah, who the fuck is going to be this... Who the fuck is going to be Steve Martin? How do we reboot recast this? How do we reboot recast who? How do we be?
Who could do that? because they have to be goofy, but they have to be real. They can't be like too over the top, you know, like a Will Forte too far. A Will Ferrell a little too far.
Although maybe, Will Forte maybe, is not a bad.
Yeah, Will Forte is not close, bad. But he's a little too goofy. You know who really.
Actually, well, would he go over the top with it is the only question.
I think, other than the fact that he's almost kind of done it.
Uh-huh.
John C. Reilly.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
Especially if John C. Reilly is playing like 25 years old.
Yeah.
The first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And like he ages into, yeah.
Dude, that's not
bad. That's actually pretty on.
The only thing I could think that would be better for me is me. I'm going to reboot, recast myself.
And, no, oh, you're going to put yourself in this one?
Yeah, fuck it. You know, I do improv on the weekends.
But what if we,
you know,
what if we
both. Was to say I can't do it.
What if we both do it and we just switch?
Do a swap?
Yeah, yeah.
And see if the audience can tell?
Like, not even scene for scene, like take for take.
Mm-hmm.
Like over the shoulder if it is one of us.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And
then
the other one. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that too. But yeah, John C. Reilly's not bad.
But we're both wearing Bernadette Peters masks.
Sure. Cosmetic mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, John C. Reilly is good. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
So then who's Bernadette Peters?
That is good. Could pull that off. Maybe a Kristen Wiig.
That's not bad.
Right?
Yeah. Julia Garner. She's got the hair for it.
Oh, actually.
But can she do the comedy?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen her do anything like
yeah,
specifically funny. Right. Although it's not necessarily that she's funny. She's not funny. That
she in needs to be, but yeah,
of the situation.
She's got the look.
She's playing it right.
She's got the look.
That might be a good one.
Yeah,
but then it's kind of weird to have somebody that's 2 feet tall and looks that young next to a John C. Reilly.
And also the age difference. Yeah. Every time you say John C. Reilly, I keep thinking you're going to say John Cena. You know. Because the C, like C. Like I keep hearing that
John
in my head.
John Cena.
Yeah, that's not even a... Well, I just keep thinking you're going to say John Cena. You know, that's not even a bit. That's just what I keep hearing in my
head. Okay.
You know.
I don't think John Cena could pull it off.
No. But it is funny, though, because I did think John Cena when I was trying to think of guys to do it. Yeah. I mean, he does comedies, but I don't think
John Cena should play...
But can he do the nuance, you know?
No, he should play the Rob Reiner character. Carl Reiner.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Scorsese could do that, you know?
Nah, Scorsese.
Bob Odenkirk could play the Carl Reiner
character. No, Bob Odenkirk plays the guy that is in the car that can't keep the glasses on his face.
Yeah.
Right?
Or the crazy serial killer guy.
John Cena plays the crazy
serial killer.
There it is.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like Bob Odenkirk as the glasses entrepreneur that helps him out. I like that a lot.
The OptiGrab.
I can see that. Who plays the gas station attendant? Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously.
May he still be alive.
What?
I don't know.
Is there something wrong with Danny DeVito?
I'm scared. I just know that he's getting older and I rue the day that he dies. Okay? I don't want to experience that. That's all I'm saying.
God, everybody's going to die.
Fucking national treasure, Danny DeVito.
They're all.
I don't want it to happen.
Why can't
I need just, the singularity to happen just so that Danny DeVito can stay alive?
I want them all to stay alive and OJ just die over and over again.
Oh man, stay innocent. Hashtag stay innocent.
All right, now who should play Shithead?
I don't know, but I have a good idea.
Who?
Haley Joel Osment now. Nom in space. Cross the street.
Thanks for listening to The Movie Gap on the Cross the Streams Media Network.